Sure is. And in a moment, we're going to be talking about the possibility of free energy in a very chaotic world. So get ready for that during our split show on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Sterling Allen was with me a few years ago. Let me tell you again about Sterling, founder and CEO of the PES Network and the New Energy Congress, which is comprised of energy professionals from all around the world who review the most promising new and emerging energy technologies. Sterling has made the term free energy more acceptable by relating it to solar, wind, and geothermal, as well as understood technologies. Here he is back on Coast to Coast, Sterling Allen. Sterling, how are you?
George, it's great to be on again. It's been a couple years, and you know what I found out tonight?
What's that?
Today is the 22nd anniversary of the Pons and Fleischmann announcement, and tonight we're going to have on this show with us Andrea Rossi, who is commercializing cold fusion.
Absolutely. He's going to be joining us in about 20 minutes or so, live from wherever he is. I think he's out in Italy right now.
Yeah,
and that's,
he's in Rome.
That's going to be, now, what's been going on since the last time you and I talked a couple of years ago?
Well, you know, I have changed my focus from trying to be, cover all things free energy, as you mentioned in the intro, to hone on what I'm really good at, which is the exotic free energy technologies, the cold fusion magnet motors, gravity motors, things that physicists raise their eyebrows at and say, well, that's impossible. That's when we get interested. And I found that to serve us very well because it turned out that in the last couple of years, things have really started to rock and roll, and we just can barely keep up on top of all the amazing developments that are going on. So I'm so glad you're letting us come on tonight, because we're going to try, if we can, in this short time that we have together, to hit at least four or five technologies, free energy technologies, that are not just interesting, but are actually in process of commercializing. They're going in, they're ramping up for production.
Well, when you talk about free energy, Sterling, I keep thinking of the big energy giants who are probably cringing right now if they're listening to this interview. They don't want free energy. How are we going to change this when they're making so much money and you know they're going to fight you all the way?
Well, this goes back to what David Icke was talking about in the previous hour. I love him. He does such...
What a thinker. Great thinker. Whether you agree with him or not. He's a great thinker.
And, you know, it's time. It's time for free energy to emerge. The big guys are taking down the planet as fast as they can so that they can have total control over people. But it's not the day of control is over. Their days are numbered. And free energy is actually going to empower the people. This is actually an act of revolution to support in a very proactive way a solution to what ails us, which is oil and nuclear and the central control grid. This enables us to have power in our car. We can drive down the road without stopping for fuel, fly as far as we want without having to stop. We can go out and fish as long as we want without having to go to shore and refuel in our craft. We can have our own power generator in our home, which keeps us going. We don't have to worry about whether the grid's going to be there or not. We can grow our own food indoors if we want with full-spectrum lighting that enables us to mimic outdoors. We can grow tons of food, organic quality, indoors. That's the world of the future, and it's coming right now as these guys are trying to collapse the world. And so they think that they've got us by the throat, but guess what? We have a winning card that I don't think they were planning on, or they've been trying to suppress it all this time, but there's so many people working on this. You would not believe how many people are out there in all these different sectors. They just can't, the genie's out of the bottle. They can't stop it anymore.
And when you talk about free energy, Sterling, are you talking about free energy or low-cost energy to us?
Well, when I say free energy, I'm talking about the source. Solar is free. You don't have to pay for the sun. Wind is free. You don't have to pay for the wind. And it's the same way with the stuff that's more exotic. We're tapping into energy sources that are ubiquitous and inexhaustible. We don't run out of them. It's not like there's going to be peak sun or peak wind. It just is always going to be there. And these sources are continuous. They're not, day and night related or dependent. They're always there. So when you want power, it's there as much as you want.
Absolutely. You know, you have monitored one of our regular guests, trends researcher Gerald Celente.
Right.
And he predicted that sometime this year we're going to see a huge energy revolution. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. In fact, in his Trends Research 2011, where he predicted what was going to happen in 2011, he said we're going to see an energy revolution involving breakthroughs in new energy that could shift the whole game. It may be as big as the discovery of fire or the invention of the wheel. And he specifically mentioned Andrea Rossi's technology that we're going to be having on here in the show in a few minutes as one of the technologies to keep an eye on. And I would argue, I actually was able to help them come up with that trends research version. They consulted with me and several of my associates in composing that and the updates that he's doing. And so, yes, let's get this clear. While the powers that be are trying to destroy the planet and control it utterly, energy is one of the solutions he specifically mentions as being the saving grace that could keep us from going into total economic meltdown, because it gives you a productive capacity that you can then create jobs, you can create hope. And people get out of this morass that we're in right now where they're not buying anything because of this feeling of scarcity, the oil's running out, the nuclear's going nuclear. Oh, no, we're just meltdown. But the message that I want to present tonight is that, no, we live in an age of abundance. This energy is all around us, and it is cheap and easy to make.
And, you know, most people, Sterling, probably don't even think about this until something happens or the costs go out of sight. You know, if their power goes out, then they think about this.
So if anything, they actually made it easier for us by making it so hard.
That's right.
It's now gotten people to think about this and realize that we've got to do something different. The way we've been doing things is wrong.
I mean, I would love a little power source at my house where I wouldn't have to rely on the grid for anything.
Yeah.
I mean, is that doable?
Absolutely. By the end of this year, there's not only going to be one, there could be as many as five. And some of these are going to be available as soon as June, possibly.
That is dramatic.
Yeah.
How will they market themselves?
Well, you know, that's a whole, you know, hour discussion. But at first, they're going to have to be careful because they want to, you know, start out with 250,000 of these things available in the first run kind of thing.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And so when they announce it, it's going to be like, okay, they can handle the rush. It's going to go crazy because, you know, some of these guys are talking about open sourcing. So if you want one, go start an industry and make them because they're that easy.
Can you make these at home once you get the plans?
Some of them will be that easy, yes.
That's interesting.
Now beware, because there are some frauds out there that are selling, you know, stuff that MagnaWork, for example, saying that you can, you know, for $100 you can make something to power your house. That's bogus.
For $100, huh?
But you know, some of these technologies are not far from that, and they're real.
That is pretty dramatic.
Yeah.
It really is. Tell me about a little bit about Andrea Rossi before he joins us in about 20 minutes.
Sure. Last January, they had a press conference in Italy, and they invited some 50. It was by invitation only, but they had University of Bologna there, which happens to be, and this is very auspicious, along with the fact that I don't think Lisa was thinking that, you know, okay, the 23rd is the anniversary of cold fusion. Let's do it on that day. Maybe she was. Maybe she was really, you know, on cue there. I didn't realize it until a few minutes ago.
She misses.
It was the anniversary. So
she misses nothing. She misses nothing, Sterling.
Yeah. So anyway, the University of Bologna is actually, on Wikipedia, it calls it the first university that is still ongoing to this day. But it turns out there's actually a couple of Muslim or more in the Muslim world, university are also ongoing. They're like 500 years older. But it's the first university that uses the word university. And so the University of Bologna was there to witness and to verify this technology, and it really made a splash because this is a 10 kilowatt unit. That's enough to run a house easily.
And how big is that in terms of size?
You know, we're talking about the size of a small filing cabinet kind of thing.
Man,
it's
not
that big.
It's not bad at all.
No, and the fuel that it takes to run this thing, we're talking nickel, hydrogen, some pressure, and about 400, 500 degrees Celsius, and off it goes. No radiation, and we're talking fuel that is like dirt cheap almost. And we're talking a device that's, $4,000 or $5,000 that produces 10 kilowatts.
Would you be able to get a tax write-off on that?
I wouldn't worry about the government getting, it's going to take the government a long time to catch up with this one. It's going to be 10 years before we're talking tax write-off. But you don't need a tax write-off. This is already a one-year on return on investment even without a tax write-off.
Now, would this would power your house? Would it heat? It wouldn't heat your. If you run your house on gas, you're stuck with gas, right?
Right. Well, this actually right now they're producing heat, and so to produce electricity, you'd have to have a generator on there, which would be another $1,500 to get the turbine and the generator that turns the heat into electricity. But yeah, that's just an engineering.
Well, I would think, Sterling, if these companies could finance these machines. These apparatus, and you'd be able to get your money back that way. If your payment is less than what your utility payment is, people are going to buy these like crazy. I don't know how many people would want to write a check for $5,000 or $6,000 in one. Do you?
Yeah, and so that's another industry that springs up is the financing of this stuff. But some people can. Some people can.
Not
everyone can afford one right up front because they're not going to have enough for everyone up front.
I think my electrical bill is $180 a month, and my gas ranges from $90 to $300, depending on the winter in St. Louis, for example. I'm not sure I would shell out that much money up front because it would take 2 or 3 years to do. But it's not a bad investment. Because eventually you're going to get your money back. But again, if they finance these things from the get-go, they're going to sell like hotcakes.
But you also know that stuff's coming down, and you know that even though it's going to be a 2 to 3 year return on investment, that in 2 or 3 years from now, if we don't do something, there's not going to be any power, and it's either buy something now and have power when the grid goes down, or have nothing.
Well, that's right. I mean, if an X-flare wipes out the grid, and you've got your own little unit, you're in good shape, aren't you?
Right.
And off you go.
Yeah, and you can, like I said, you can grow your food indoor while maybe there's ash from volcanoes or whatever that's going on outside. If you've got the ability to grow indoors, boom, all you need is electricity and you're set.
Don't you think businesses should have this too to keep their businesses functioning?
Absolutely. And your car, so you don't have to pay, you convert your car to run on electricity. And see, this is just one technology, Andrea Rossi's technology. We're talking five tonight, we hope to get to, just at least touch on them briefly. And you can go to our freeenergynews.com website, and we've got these all listed on the homepage. We've got the news and the headlines at the first part of the site. And then after that, we've got these technologies listed, the top five. And they may shift over time. There may be a sleeper that comes along that we didn't know about that's even better than the ones we have there now.
Are these technologies getting capital by any chance? Are they able to get venture money or anything like that?
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. This is crazy. I just found about this last week. The energy industry spends, guess how much of their budget on research and development? And before we get
the research is for themselves, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, the industry, all industries on average, on their budget, they spend 3% on research and development. The communications industry spends 25% on research and development.
Wow.
Look at how, you've got the iPhone and these amazing Androids and people just going crazy with this cool communications gadget. Guess how much the energy industry, how much of their budget they spend on research and development?
I couldn't even guess.
0.3%.
0.3%.
Ten times less than the average of all other industries.
You know why? They probably figure they don't have to.
They probably spend that much on suppression.
Right.
3%, 0.3% to at least, you know, throw a bone, you know, so to speak, and another 0.3% to sniff out anything that might be a competitor and snuff it out.
Well, what are the other kinds of technologies that are out there that are being worked on?
Well, we've got, you know, this is crazy, but there's a gravity motor that looks really interesting. In fact, today I saw a picture and a video of a production prototype, of this things they're going to start cranking out. I saw photos. These things are almost done. They were supposed to be done earlier this month, but they're really close. And we're talking something that would be $3,000 to $4,000 that would power your house. That would be, and that's retail. After, you know, that's with a 50% markup for the distributor, 50% for the manufacturer. I mean, for the marketer. And we're talking, you know, $1,500 to $1,000 of components that your garage mechanic can make, because you're talking bicycle wheels, and you're talking, you know, a welder, you're talking sprockets.
Really? Would you put the unit, in the house or outside?
It's not that noisy. You could put it in your garage, and it wouldn't really be that destructive.
Now, do you have like a capacitor? Can you store any of this energy, or does it run when you need it?
That one would be continuously running, so you probably would want to have some of a kind of a battery bank, or you just throw it away and not use it, just have it run at max because it's so cheap.
What about the other ones?
Another one that I hope to get to really quick is the Plasmerg. Plasmerg. It's a noble gas engine. We're talking xenon, helium, these inert gases that are supposed to not burn because the electron shells are all full and happy. They turn it into a plasma state and then back out each run of the piston and runs an engine. And we're talking, the engine has five to six moving parts, and so it's a third the cost of what it's replacing. And the fuel is like, you know, 17 cents a fill-up, which in it lasts, the canister might last 6 months. And these guys are ready to go, too. They're just waiting for some good money to go into production. But they've got 9 months on their production prototyping.
I can't understand, though, Sterling, why they can't get the kind of capital to run wild with this kind of technology.
The people with money are so greedy, they want to control and own the company.
Well, that's what happened to Tesla. Same thing.
Yeah.
They wanted to crush him, take him over, and, well, look what happened to him.
Another one really quick. Down in the Philippines, we have a guy.
It's Art Bell. You've got Art in the Philippines doing it, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. You got to check this guy out. He's over in Manila area.
That's where Art is.
Oh, cool. Yeah, have him go check this out. This guy was on Philippine Channel 7. It's like the big time down there.
Art, go
check
this out.
And he was validated by the Department of Energy down there last month.
So what does his unit look like?
He's got a car that runs on a Tesla-like coil that keeps the battery charged so he can drive down the road and not have to stop for fuel.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that after we're done talking with Andrea Rossi, who's going to join us next live from Italy to talk about what he has perfected. That's next. We talk about alternative energy right here on Coast to Coast AM, so you stand by for that. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Andrea Rossi, an Italian engineer and inventor. He's been working on energy-related projects for decades, currently is the president and founder of the Leonardo Technologies, which is incorporated in Bedford, New Hampshire, right here in the USA. And they are manufacturing the first 10 kilowatt modules of the Energy Catalyzer in Miami, Florida, which will be ganged together to make a 1 megawatt plant by mid-October in Greece. Let's bring Sterling Allen back in. Sterling, tell us a little bit more about Andrea, and we'll bring him in as well. Go ahead.
Yeah, that 1 megawatt plant is actually going to be a production facility where they will make 300,000 of these 10 kilowatt units a year. And just think of the computer industry, how expensive and big they were at first and how much they were miniaturized and made cheaper over time. That's going to happen with these devices as well. So even at the entry point, they're cheaper than what we have available from fossil fuels, and they're going to go down from there.
When we have heard so much, Sterling, about cold fusion, yet we really haven't seen anybody develop something. So where are we now, then?
Well, we have somebody who's developed something. It's now in the marketplace. And the junk science is not junk science. There have been 17,000 replications of cold fusion. That's an estimate by a Japanese group, actually, who documented, you know, basically did some analysis of how many people are out there exploring this. They have several conventions every year exploring cold fusion, and yet you can't go to the U.S. Patent Office and use the word cold fusion if you want to get a patent.
Why?
Because it's politicized. And this 0.3% that the energy industry is spending on suppression, while they're spending another 0.3% on research and development, that's going to, you know, throw the bone, so to speak. It's just crazy. You know, it's time that we rise up and do an act of resistance by supporting free energy technologies, both in words and in actions, by buying these things and helping these inventors and going out and doing research and development and, you know, getting involved here. Let's go to Rossi. Let's hear what he has to say.
We're going to go live to Italy right now. Andrea Rossi is with us, who has perfected this incredible device. Hello, Andrea. How are you?
Very well. Hello to you, and thank you very much for calling me.
Tell me a little bit about your system.
Yes. It's a module which has a power of about 10 kilowatts, and it works making a react nickel and hydrogen. And the reactions are such that more energy at the output is produced respect the energy that is fed to the module. So that due to the first and second principle of thermodynamics, necessarily we have, in this case, a nuclear reaction. I am not so prone to call it cold fusion. I prefer to call it low-energy nuclear reactions. But in any case, we have a source of energy which is clean, quite cheap, and which does not leave radioactive waste.
What is your vision, Andrea, for its use? Would we have it for homes, businesses? What would we do with it?
Well, good question. In the short term, necessarily it will be just an industrial use to produce heat and power. In a longer term, I suppose that it will be ready also for household use, but in this last case, there are difficulties to overcome for what concerns the certifications to get all the necessary authorizations to go in a home. Because you can easily understand that there is a big difference between to put a plant in an industry or in a site where there are skilled persons to control it, and to put them in a house where not necessarily there is a skilled person to use it. So. It will take more time to go in the households, while in October we will start up the first 1 megawatt plant in an industry.
How much would a unit cost for industry?
Well, the cost, I can give you a cost per kilowatt of power installed. Leonardo Corporation. First of all, let me say that I want that this is made in the USA. Because
at least finally something is going to be made here in this country. Because it's been a long time.
In this wonderful country, we produce everything good, and this is one more product which will be made in the United States.
Good.
And the exception will be in Greece and the Balkans, where we have given a license of manufacturing. So the cost at the moment. The cost, which is subject to decrease in, as usually happens with the increase of the scale of production, but in any case, right now the cost is around $2,000 US dollars per kilowatt installed. So, for example, a one megawatt plant has a cost. Of production, which is around $2 million, a 1 megawatt power plant, which means a plant that is able to produce 1,000 kilowatt hours per hour. I assume you also want to know the cost of the power produced,
yes.
Of the energy produced.
Yes.
And the energy produced has a cost. Of about 1 cent of dollar per kilowatt hour.
That's almost nothing.
Utah has the cheapest power around the world, just about, and it's 4 cents per kilowatt hour wholesale.
Not bad at all. Now, Andrea, what kind of fuel does it consume?
Yes. First of all, thank you very much for how you are speaking English. You are really helping me speaking that way, because I can understand you perfectly. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Fuel is made by nickel powder, which is a powder of nickel metal, and hydrogen.
Is that expensive to use, and is it readily available?
Yes, the nickel powder costs about $20 per kilogram, which is $10, something around $9 per pound. And hydrogen, you know perfectly how much costs. And you consider that producing 10 kilowatt hours per hour, the consume is around 1 gram of hydrogen per day. When I say day, I mean 24 hours, and about 100 grams of nickel powder in a period of about 6 months.
Andrea, every time when someone develops what could be alternative energy, something happens. Either a big corporation tries to buy them and bury it, or they get threatened, they get scared, they stop working on their projects. Has that ever occurred to you? Have you been forced to try to stop? Have they wanted to just buy your idea and sweep it under the carpet?
Sincerely, no. This did not happen to me, because we made quite a different policy respect what other made. We did not ask for external funding. So I have put in this operation all my money. And I wanted not external financing for two reasons. One is to avoid that something like what you said happen. And secondly, because it was very risky, because when you do something really new, the risk that you meet an unsuccess is very high. So I wanted not to play American football with the bones of the others. And then,
if I could interject you really quick, you actually did have an event happen in an earlier technology you worked on that turned waste, household waste, into energy and fuel, and it was politicized, and you ended up spending some time in jail. You were later exonerated completely, but you have had experience with that, and that's why you're playing smart now.
Yes, exactly. Yes, this is a very good consideration. And at this point, being completely free, you know, I arrived, I say to myself, I have to arrive not with a theory or with a toy on a table and ask funding. I have to arrive to a product. In fact, we will begin to earn money in October after the successful startup of the plant of 1 megawatt. Until that moment, all the money on the table has been and will be my money. The only money that has been risked is my money. This way, I have cut all the voices about this guy is trying to make some trick, etc., etc. And so any attempt to diminish the importance of the technology has been fought because it is clear that if somebody puts all his money in a thing, if this is a trick, he is just tricking himself.
Yes.
The rules are very clear here. Money will change hands if plants will work. No good work, no money for anybody, and a loss of money for me. And this approach has saved us from the risk that you said. And now all the people who is approaching us is approaching us, but on a positive attitude. And we have extremely important context going on, and we base our contracts on the fact that the plants have to work, because we earn if the plants work. So I hope that we will be able to defend this policy.
Are you starting, Andrea, to get sales now for the plants? Are you getting orders from companies that want this?
I am getting proposals of orders, but I am not accepting orders because before that, I want to start up the plant that we will start up in Athens in October, and that we are manufacturing right now while we are speaking. We are manufacturing it in Florida, United States. And after that, we will accept orders. As I said, we are going step by step, basing our activity exclusively on the base of results. And also the contract that we have with the Greeks is very clear. First, test of the plants, then payments. Should the plant not work properly, I just get it back, and all the money involved will have been only my money.
And let's hope that you get your money back. It sounds like you've risked a lot of money to do this. How much has it cost you, if I can ask?
Well, it has been a matter of millions, and I can tell you very sincerely that I have put here all the money I had.
So you must believe in this project, Andrea.
Yes, I have sold, you know, my friends and who knows me knows perfectly that I have sold all of my former business, which was a company that made biomass power production plants. I have sold everything to finance this.
Let's hope it works and comes back to you many, many ways.
I hope that it will be useful for mankind, because, you know, I am doing this because I think that this is something it is worth to spend a life for.
Now, Rossi, aren't you licensing the technology at least provisionally right now?
At the moment, the only license that we gave is for Greece and Balkans. We will start the licensing policy after the startup of the plant, which means after the end of October.
So it's coming along. You're meeting your goal. Are you excited, Andrea, about this?
Yes, because basically my life is on the stakes.
I understand. How old are you? Can I ask?
Yes, of course. I am 60.
Okay. That's still young, isn't it?
Absolutely. I want to tell you this. One of the men which works in one of the most delicate phases of our manufacturing, which is the production of powders, and he works with a very sophisticated apparatus we have built to prepare the powders. He is, you can't believe it, he is 96 years old. And is, I think he's the best man in the world to do that job. He is 96 years old. So I'm very glad of it because means that I have still 36 years to work well.
Good for you. How's my Italian here? Grazie tanto.
Perfect. Much better than my English.
Your English is pretty good yourself. Andrea, thank you. Keep in touch with us.
Thank you very much, and thank you. Thank you very much.
Andrea Rossi, he has invented what could be called cold fusion device. It's pretty darn remarkable, absolutely remarkable indeed. Sterling, we're going to have to find out what happens, huh?
Yeah, and our news service is right on top of this. If you go to rossicoldfusion.com, you'll see our overview and basically a rundown of all the news as it happens. We were one of the first to report on this. FizzWord picked us up, Popular Science picked them up, and a bunch of others. But it's been pretty quiet, and I appreciate you, with your coverage, picking this up and covering it, because these guys really need to, people need to be talking about this, getting excited about it, and standing in line to, you know, be the first to buy one and then to...
It's exciting. We're going to take phone calls with you next hour, Sterling. By the way, do you know what I said to him as we said goodnight in Italian? You know what I said?
Grazie is great. Thank you, isn't it?
Thank you is what I said. Grazie tanto. We'll be back in a moment with your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM.